So, all right, welcome everybody to the Set Free Podcast with me, Ryan. Tonight I have a special guest with me, Tyde Pineda, hailing from Phoenix. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing good, doing good. You and I have kind of crossed paths a long time ago, like maybe almost 12 years ago now, I believe. If I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were with Black Bottom Lighters in their inaugural.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. So we've known each other going back to like 2010, long time, kind of crossing paths here and there. And I've been watching you do your thing, and going from that to most recently, you just dropped your first solo record, Big Dreams. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So can you kind of go over, like, I don't know how much you want to dive into some of the backstory, but how did you get to this place with Big Dreams?
So I quit the BBL band like back in I don't even know. It was like, I want to say like 5 years ago, and I started jamming with my friend Casper, who was in a band also called Casper and the Mighty 602 Band. And me and him always like had good like creativity, like energy around each other and shit. So we decided we were gonna try and put together this project, and we did. We wrote a bunch of songs just off like YouTube beats and stuff like that, because I wasn't really writing any music at that time. I was writing a bunch of lyrics, but no like actual music chords, nothing like that.
Yeah.
So we're just looking for beats and stuff to like kind of get inspired by, and we wrote a couple songs off of just YouTube beats, and then we decided to like recreate similar ideas to that, and we came in with the Heist Conspiracy, and then we did that. We dropped the first album, and then worked on an EP, and then after I did the EP, like the band was just kind of like stagnant. So I'm like, well, fuck, man, I want to keep writing music, and you know, I've been talking about coming up with a solo album, so I started kind of like putting that in my mind, and just started like trying to more like solidify the idea a little bit more in my mind, exactly what I was trying to do and how many songs I was going to have. And like, I started talking to my buddy Piper, and he kind of like helped me come up with some of like the artwork and like just the ideas. He kind of like motivated me more to like, to just make it happen, you know?
Yeah.
So I had my, the drummer in our band, Heist Conspiracy, his name's Maddie Matt, and he's also like a singer songwriter and drummer, and he also records music. So he would come over. We happened to like coincidentally, like, he became our drummer, but we lived like within fucking walking distance of each other.
Yeah.
Somehow. So he would come over to my house, and we would just record some ideas in my bedroom, in my band room, just to kind of like see what we could come up with. And it took us a minute to get it dialed in. We would record at my house and some lyrics at his house. And then we finally got like all 10 songs figured out and sounding, you know, halfway decent. And actually that sounded really good, to be honest with you, like how we did it and what they were. Cause some of them were like, they were all like, I don't know if you've listened to the CD, but a lot of them are like, none of them to me sound like they're all the same. They all sound completely different. Like some of them are like punk rock, some of them like trap hip hop shit, some of them are reggae, and they're all just a variety of stuff. Some of them even sound like alternative rock kind of. So it's pretty mixed up like CD as far as like the sounds on it. And then we took that to my homie Jeremy Parker at Premier Studios over in Phoenix, where I had been recording with you know, the Conspiracy band, and he mixed it and mastered it, and then I released it on Spotify. I put it through like CD Baby, and then they kind of helped me put it on all the like the streaming platforms and stuff, and then I went through like a local guy here in Phoenix that prints out CDs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Moon Valley Printing.
Yeah.
So he's super dope, and got it done right away. So that was cool, cause it all happened like during COVID too. So like that was really cool, cause I felt like a lot of people were like scared you know, everybody was scared. I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of fucking scared at first.
Right.
And then, like, I was just like, man, I want to do, I don't want to be, like, thinking about all the shit that's going wrong in the world, you know what I mean? I want to be thinking about music because that's what I love and that's what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah. I bet there's a lot of people that, you know what I mean, that don't have, like, that thing to, like, that crutch to, like, lean on when shit gets bad, you know what I mean? I just play music.
Yeah, see, that was, and, that was, you know, for a lot of us, I know for you, for myself, a lot of the people that we know, you know, we're used to playing a lot here locally and playing around and doing live music, you know. So when that got taken away, you know, it was like legit, like one weekend we were playing, next weekend everything's canceled. So it's like, you know, but being able to have that outlet, like I did the same thing during COVID almost became like there was a silver lining. Like I got to work with so many people and got to do so much, so many things that if we were all busy, nothing would have got done, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And but
that's how we felt, man. That's how I felt. And as a band, we're kind of treating it all like that too. Like, hey, man, this is time to like to do stuff, not to just be fucking wasting it away. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Not sitting in a house being scared. I was like sending tracks out to different people. Everybody was doing stuff remotely, and you know, it was really cool. But going back to your record, though, I didn't have a chance to say, but yes, I have listened to it, and that was one of the coolest things about your record in particular was it. You're correct. Not all the songs sound like the, you know, the same old reggae track or the same old, you know, like one genre all the way through, but you're able to seamlessly combine them. So you have an overall sound, an overall tidy sound, but you're able to be creatively experimental and kind of run out, you know, on these different limbs and kind of take people on a journey. I thought that was really cool, man, because not a lot, you know, a lot of people get pigeonholed. They stay stuck in one genre or what have you. And then when they try to get out, it just sounds like a completely different band or something like that. But your record has a real cohesiveness to it. It was really good. It was very impressive. Yeah, I was very impressed to see that come out, and happy for you too. You know,
thank you, brother.
It was a triumph.
I appreciate that.
Well, we run in the same circle, so I always consider it to be kind of like a family thing. You know what I mean? I was with my actual family out to dinner one of the first nights I saw live music back, and it was you and Big Worm. And I can't remember who you had on bass that night, but you were over there at the yard, and you were like the inaugural live musician that I had an opportunity to catch one night, you know.
Dope, man.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, we've been playing at that spot pretty regularly. That's one of the spots that like continued with music because they were lucky enough to like have that food, like that food permit or whatever they had, the restaurants had to have to like remain open.
Yeah.
So because they had that, that was one of the places that really didn't shut down. I mean, it was crazy to see that place go from like busy all the time to like 10, 20 people in there, you know. It was crazy.
Yeah.
The bass player, Steve, he's always saying like, yeah, he called it the prohibition of music where like everything was like dying and stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
you kind of mentioned that at every show. I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Kind of had to go underground. Like we were having little jams over here at my house and stuff. Speaking of which, it's, you know, as well as I do, we're just reaching this nice, cool time in Phoenix where the weather's cooled off. So you might hear some like, you know, street sounds because I'm sitting outside. I took the podcast outside tonight because it was just, you know, it was nice.
I'm sitting outside too, bro.
Nice enough to do so, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so yeah. And also, too, it's funny you mentioned Casper and Highest Conspiracy and even Mighty 602 Band. So you probably know Banks.
Yeah, William Banks. Yeah, yeah, another guy.
Yeah, he's like, world-renowned, man.
Yeah, man. He's a OG right there, man.
Yeah, and I just started playing with Jared, who's playing with Banks now. Jared's a keyboard player from Jersey. We just got together, so we were just rapping about that yesterday. Uh-huh. All that sort of stuff, and I just find it funny because I was like, man, you know, Titus is gonna be on the podcast tonight, and you know, just talking about how all paths cross, you know, and in such a family way where, you know, Phoenix music, I don't think a lot of people understand what it's like here in this market anyway, but it's, there's a lot of people and a lot of great musicians, and it's pretty friggin' awesome when you get a chance to like interact and intermingle and watch your friends play. And you know, there's all of this rich musical stuff going on, art in general, you know what I mean? It's a very art rich community that we have going on. We're pretty lucky.
Yeah, we are, man. We're blessed with all kinds of like badass music and art, and getting to like to see it firsthand. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're on some like cutting edge stuff. You know what I mean? As far as like it's turning into that kind of spot.
Yeah.
Like, cause we're making it like that. You know, that's what we want. But it's cool to see that, man. I agree, man. It is like we're meant to like that's one of the things I realized. In life in general, is like, it's not about like money. It's not about like job. Like, it's mostly just about people and like connections with people. Like that'll take you so much further, I feel like, in life than like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just doing favors for people and like, and then they'll scratch your back. You know what I mean? Because you were helping them out. It's like, that's how it is, man. Just helping each other.
Yeah, it's it.
Help each other, I guess. That's the only way to explain
it's, it. Yeah, it's that earthly family vibe, you know, which I think is super cool. And you don't get it a lot of places. You know, a lot of times there's this gnarly competition. I would even venture to say maybe, you know, a couple years ago there was some competition in the ranks. And it was like almost like I woke up too and was like, no, this is not a competition. Like, we all are trying to do something great, you know, and so let's big each other up. And, you know, if you need a drummer, I'm there to play, or, you know, whatever. We just all fill in, make sure that the music sounds good and the art gets, you know, pushed forward and progression.
Yeah. Know? Yes. That's exactly what, like, we had a gig in Mexico, man, and, like, our drummer couldn't make it. And I'm like, I want to do the gig, so I told the guy, yeah. And then, like, it was like a month of, like, you know, build up to the show.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought I had a drummer. They said they weren't going to be able to make it, like, last minute. And then I'm, like, trying to scramble for a drummer. And then the bass player says he can't make it. Oh. So now I'm scrambling for a bass player. And, like, I ended up, like, you know Arian. You know, the homie Arian stepped in and he played.
Yeah.
He played the drums and killed it. And then the dude, Clint, the homie Clint from Clint Stevens Band, he was free and he doesn't even play bass, but he jumped on the bass and crushed it. And we were able to just do the show, you know, and none of us had even practiced before together. I mean, me and Arian have jammed, but I've never played with Clint on the bass, and they've never played with like Can, our trombone player. And I mean, Arian and Worm jam a lot now because they're in Urban Life together.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I was confident that we were going to be able to pull it off. Like, I wasn't even stressing it at all. I'm like, okay, these guys are all legit. So we're, you know, we could do it.
Yeah.
And just like you're saying, you know, that's what I feel like the future kind of looks for, for musicians in AZ, because like different schedules and not everyone does it full time. But you know what I mean? Like, you know that some people are solid, so you want to have them in your sound.
Yeah.
And like, you just have to work with their schedules. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to like, you know what I mean? Not everyone's like trying to do it full time because there's no money in it right now.
Right.
Damn, I just saw a shooting star. That was badass.
Yeah. We wish upon that one. But yeah, yes, I know Arian very well. Arian does a lot of the production for the most recent tracks that I've been producing and putting out, and work out of his studio constantly. Clint is also a writer that I've been working with too. He's a prolific musician, dude. He's a great guitar player, great, you know, great on the bass. And, you know, I saw all the photos of you guys down there in Mexico. So I was like, man, they killed it. And then you had Worm on saxophone too, which that guy's just a beast.
He's legit. They're all legit.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And then I caught you guys playing, before that, you were playing with Urban Life at their, right after their release party. So I saw,
at the Starlight
Lounge. Yeah. I saw you guys come on stage afterwards. You came on with Casper and Highest. And, it was just a great, great night of music and good vibes and stuff. What's your favorite track off your record? Do you have a favorite, or are they all kind of like little babies?
I don't know.
Like, it's hard to choose which one you love the most.
No, I feel you. I like listen to them all, and like, I don't know. I guess like the one I was probably the most excited about was the the Modern Day Slave one, because that one was just like a straight rap, yeah. And it was like kind of like a story, and I feel like it, like, it's personal, you know what I mean? Like, I know people like that and shit, so I just wanted, like, to put that out. And also, Feeling High. I think Feeling High is a deep one, too, because there's a lot of people that struggle with, like, fucking suicidal thoughts and shit like that, yeah. You know, that have no one to talk to, and, like, that song was, like, I don't know, man. It was a weird vibe on that song, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the world needed it, so there it is, you know?
Yeah. What I mean? Like, what do you mean by weird vibe on that?
Because it's, like, kind of like a, like, I don't want to perform that song at a bar. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's what I mean by that. Like, that would be so, like, uncomfortable, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but I don't know, but maybe it would need to be done at one point, but I don't know, man. It's just not my favorite to, like, perform. And it's a sick-ass bass line and everything, but it's just kind of a downer.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like.
Yeah, there's a moment for everything. I think there's a couple of records in life that, you know, I love some of their tracks, but I know I'll never, ever catch a certain song live, you know, because it's got that kind of weird undertone or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say that it's like a filler song so much as it is like it's a certain way of emoting that is not for the party, right?
Right. It's like a personal thing, more of a personal thing than like a fucking club or like I want to have a fucking party vibe.
What's your so?
And that's a lot of our songs, dude. The conspiracy shit was. I felt like a lot of that stuff was just like, oh man, we were just all like mentally like just fucking had enough of like everything. You know what I mean? Like we were just coming up with shit. It was just like, I don't know, man. It all fit too. It was weird, man. It all fit with like what was happening too. Like, I felt like some of the songs that we recorded, like, were almost like premonitions or like, oh yeah, we saw it coming before it actually was here. And then when the songs like released, I don't know, dude. It was weird how it like in my mind it was like almost like too perfect. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's. I mean, I don't know where you are on that wavelength of life or anything, but I'm a firm believer in that, and that's why I say that COVID, the time period was just right, but also like. You know, I had cultivated relationships to just the right point where it just seemed like doors just opened and I'm looking in the mirror going like, what the hell, dude? Like, how is this all this stuff possible? You know, but like you said, like a premonition, like you could be in tune to things, the world, you know, and I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but like, I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The Secret, which is derived from Abraham's law, the centuries old thing about the laws of attraction. You know what I mean? Like what you put out into the world, you get back, you know?
Yep. Yep. I believe in that, dude. I had this trippy experience, man, with, have you ever heard of this book called, what's it called? Be Here Now?
No, I have not. No.
Okay, so the way I found it was I was at my house and we're watching Netflix or whatever, and there was this Steve Jobs documentary. So I was like, fuck it, Steve Jobs is smart, you know, he's an interesting dude. I want to see what his life was about. So they're interviewing him, and he keeps talking about how he was so into this book and how this book really helped him. I'm like, well, fuck, if it helped Steve Jobs, maybe it'll help me. So I ordered it on Amazon, yeah. You know? And it's a weird book. It's written by this guy, Ram Dass. I don't even know if I pronounced that right.
Yeah, he's a big spiritual guru.
Yeah, bro. That guy, like, I guess he, like, talks about, like, a little bit about his life, how he was, like, doing all these drugs and shit to become, like, to have that, like, mental clarity mm-hmm. and stuff. And then he writes this book on about like basically like everything that he learns, like going on his journey to India and like learning from this guru guy who never really even says anything to him, but can like, I guess, telepathically communicate with him and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. And so I bought it and I started reading it. And that day the next day after I got the book in the mail, that very same day or the next day. My buddy Casper comes over and we're trying to write some lyrics and shit. So I'm like, dude, you got to check out this book. Like in the book, like you open it, but you can't read it. Like you have to turn it like clockwise.
Oh, really?
And it's like a scroll type of thing, dude, like halfway through. And it's got all these crazy ass like trippy ass paintings and like it's crazy, bro. It's look it up.
Yeah,
online,
what's it?
Man.
What's it called again?
But anyway, it's called. It's right, called
I'm gonna,
Be Here
I'm gonna
Now.
Go buy that right now.
It's got like a like it's a blue cover and it's got like this crazy like chair in the front with like all these like you know. My buddies made fun of me. He saw that book. He's like, man, what kind of spell are you casting right now? Because it looks like some crazy shit, right? And so I'm at this gig, and I'm on the break, and I come out to the patio the very next day after I get the book, and this lady and me start bullshitting, and she starts telling me about like, cause I'm into conspiracies, right? So she's somehow we got talking about conspiracies. She's telling me how like vaccines are bullshit, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that's cool. And she gave me this whole like thing about like the statistics or like fucking whatever. But then I tell her about the book. I'm like, have you heard about this book? It's called Be Here Now. And she's like, no, I haven't really heard about it. But she was with this dude that was standing next to her. That was her friend. And they were at the bar. And he looks at me when I said that. And then he like shows me his forearm. And on his forearm, he had it tattooed on his forearm. It said, Be Here Now. And it was because of that. And it was because of that book, dude. And I was like, what are the fucking odds of that shit? You know what I mean? Like, that's some, like, strange shit. Like, it was, like, the universe. Like, what you were talking about, dude. It's, like, everything's already, like, if you're, like, in tune to it, you'll pick up on it. And I feel like you can almost see it, how perfect it is, in a way, already lined up for you to do.
Yeah, and it sounds, to anybody who hasn't kind of taken a journey like that yet, you know what I mean? And I say yet because hopefully everybody will step out into like, you know, out from the shadows and into this other existence of what it means to be a human. But like you can, when you start to focus on that sort of thing and kind of like what Ram Dass is about, like be here now or live in the moment or, you know, the idea is that the only thing real is right here, right now in this particular moment. So you can really, you could be a part of the ether, you know, and it gets down to this really crazy metaphysical shit and like all this, you know, scientific stuff where it's like there is molecules and atoms and energies in the space between everything else, you know, and you're like living on a vibration. And this is the part where we lose everybody right now when we're talking about this, but really what everybody should be checking it out, you know, because it is like we're all connected, you know?
Yeah,
it's true.
And I don't know, man. I don't know if you're into like hallucinogenics, but like if I feel like that shit like almost kind of reveals it in a way to where like, oh man, I never saw that connection before until now that I'm in this like other mindset of like, oh man, you know what I mean? Almost like out of body experience.
Yeah. And that's actually been a recurring theme on this podcast since day one is plant-based medicines. And I don't want to use the term altered states, but essentially though, when used in the right way, it's a clinical thing. You know what I mean? From what I gather, I don't do that myself, but almost everybody I've interviewed has talked about having those types of experiences. And I did back in the day, you know, but I think it's different now, you know what I mean? Like when you're like, you know, 17, 18 years old and you're tripping balls and, you know, laughing or whatever versus like ayahuasca or, you know, microdosing of mushrooms or what have you, where you kind of like you are really kind of expanding your consciousness.
Yeah, that stuff is real, man. That's the real shit right there.
So you're talking about conspiracies. I'm really into that sort of stuff too, and I have this idea that, you know, once you start to get facts, it ceases to be a theory and then it just becomes a conspiracy, right? So it's like, because you can't really call it a conspiracy theory once you have some facts to back it up, right? So, yeah. What are you tripping off of right now?
Oh, man. Honestly, I've been so busy, like, doing other shit. I haven't really dived into it. But I feel like the coronavirus thing could be a type of conspiracy. Yeah. Like I feel like one. Oh, here's one thing that I just, like, I feel like is probably, like, something that's, it's a conspiracy in a way, but I don't know. I don't know if even people realize it yet, but like, so you see how like there's like a big coin shortage of coins right now. So that's just not, that's not just happening here in the United States. It's the same deal in Mexico. We just played that game in Mexico, and they didn't have coins either. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, why? You know, why are they taking all the coins out of circulation? So along with that, you got like all the cryptocurrency that's popping off. I feel like it's going to be like, oh, okay, they're going to get rid of the coins first, and they're going to get rid of the paper money. They're like, fuck it, we don't need the paper money anymore. And everything will just be digital.
That's, you know, exactly what I was thinking along those lines too, especially when I started seeing signs pop up, you know, because I was obviously during my research and stuff like that, it was talked about before it was actually in practice. And then going to the grocery store or the bank or what have you, and them having signs up saying, okay, we're out of coin. Essentially with a soft, you know, a soft landing saying, we're not doing coins anymore, you know? It's like, yeah, it's a weird thing.
But it makes you think, like, well, why are they doing that? Like, one of the things I think is, like, well, it's probably easier to, like, track people like that because now they can monitor their spending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everything will be electronic. So everything will have a, like, right now people are doing, like, illegal shit with dollar bills because it's not. Well, it probably is traced too, but I'm sure it's not as easy to track as fucking some electronic.
Yeah,
shit,
well,
you know?
I think that's, you know, that's why they always say, you know, cash is king, because it can, it's not easily traceable to do things. But I think even more so, like in terms of, so you're talking about, you know, tracking, which is what everybody's kind of already under, is this mass surveillance thing with cookies and yeah, you know, man. Facebook algorithms and all these other things, is they're studying human behavior, you know, and almost like the lemming effect. Like, okay, if we do this, how many people are going to react like this, you know? And
yeah, and then, that's what it is,
and
man.
So they're taking the coins, you know, they'll take the paper money, they track your spending, they track, you know, already with contact tracing with the COVID thing, like what you said, it's a way to keep tabs on people, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's just, I don't think I don't think that people will freak out about it, but, I mean, certain people will. You know, like the 4G thing, like, a bunch of people, or 5G thing. Like, I was kind of nervous about it, too, after, like, people were posting all the bad things about it. But it's like, man, I mean, just having the cell phone would probably fuck you up too, you
yeah
know?
Yeah,
it's just it's like having a little microwave in your pocket.
Oh yeah, at all times. You're like, you got people coming up with like thigh cancer and butt cancer because they've been to keep their phones in their pockets all day, and it's always radiating, you know, just, it's crazy stuff. But
yeah,
but yeah, man, I mean, that's cool that we're on the same trip like that, and a lot of the people that have been on the podcast are in that sort of vein of expanding consciousness right now. I think that's kind of the vibration of the earth right now, just kind of get everybody on the same plane. But
yeah,
you know what always used to make me feel that way, like I would put on Bob Marley Uprising, and that record would always just, like, no matter where I was at in the world or whatever, like that record seemed to kind of put me in the right spot. And my daughter really loves K-Bong. And every time I put K-Bong on, she gets in this crazy trance. Like, do you have anything like that that you dig right now or in the past that just kind of resets you?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of Bob Marley, too. That's, like, my favorite right there. Bob Marley, like, I think it was a big part of all everything, dude. With, like, once I got into his music, it put me onto, like, because he's almost like I would consider him like a prophet, you know what I mean? He's like, he's teaching stuff from the Bible and making it into music, and people don't even realize it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just singing his songs, but he's like preaching to people and like telling you what's up in a different way, you know what I mean? In a more like, I don't know, in a melodic way, in a freaking, just a dope new way, you know? I don't know how else to explain it, but he was just like, I don't know. And his son Damian Marley too. I listen to him a lot too, and he's kind of on the same tip as
Bob Marley. He's got a little more gangster lean, but I definitely love Damian Marley, and I love Steven and pretty much all the Marleys. I would, you know, anytime something comes out, I usually check it out. But those three, you know, Bob, Damian, Steven, those are like the heavy hitters for me. Usually, you can catch one or two of their songs in rotation every day. So
Yeah, they're dope, man. They got a badass musical family.
Yeah, talk about like luck and skill and like preparation, meeting opportunity all in one spot, you know?
Yeah. You know? Those guys were destined for it, man. They held it up. You know what I mean? Like there's some people that I guess like are like, so they're like up. The people have like these huge like expectations for them, and then like, you know what I mean? And then they can't fill those shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those guys did, man. They're all.
Yeah, they've carried the legacy on quite well, I think. You know, as like essentially the godfather of it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, can you imagine being them, bro? Like, oh, like, yeah, Bob Marley's my dad. You
know, no, I can't. I mean, my dad was a musician, and he's very well respected and stuff like that. But I played a different instrument, so you know what I mean. Like, he let it be known that I was trying, you know, cutting my own teeth, so to speak, and not trying to ride on his past accomplishments. You know.
Oh, but that's your own thing, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's got their journey, man. Musical journey.
Yeah. But I don't, but like what you're saying too, like with Damien and Steven and all those cats, like, it's not even that they're riding on Bob's thing, because they're doing it their own way, and they're just equally talented musicians and producers and, you know, songwriters in general. I think it's, you know, like I said, it's just, It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, they hit every magical branch on the way down.
You know? For real. They all have great lyrics and good like melodies, songwriting abilities. Like, man, they definitely followed the same formula that Bob had, you know, they all make great songs, man. I haven't heard any bad songs from those guys.
Yeah. So what's new? What should we be looking out for, coming from you or Highest Conspiracy or?
We got so with the Highest Conspiracy, we're actually releasing a brand new song on Friday. It's called Goodbye, and it was kind of inspired by my homie John Ted, who passed away from COVID.
Oh, man. Wow.
He was younger than me, and we kind of grew up like around. My one of my best friends, Piper, his younger brother, Alex Piper, he plays the drums, or he used to play the drums, but he was like, I don't know, probably like 5 years younger than us. And him and his buddy, John Ted, would jam out in their garage. And this is around the time that I was just learning guitar, you know what I mean? So I was terrible. They were terrible. and we all just got better together. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I would just watch them get better, and we were all just jamming. Like, we weren't like close friends or nothing, but we were just homies because we grew up in the same area, yeah. You know, doing the same shit. And I guess he had just graduated from NAU too. He's gonna be like a scientist of some sort, and he caught COVID and he fucking died from it, man. So that shit was a bummer. Yeah. And I was like, well, shit, man, I'm going to write a song. It wasn't specifically about him, but he inspired the song, like, because I figured, you know what I mean? I'm not the only one that probably lost someone that they knew during this whole thing, you know what I mean? So I figured people would relate. And we let a couple homies hear it, and one of the homies that heard it said that he had just lost his mom from COVID, and he was like, man, that song made me cry when I heard it, man. I was like, damn. He's all, but in a good way, man. He's all, thank you for writing. I was like, whoa. I'm like, so I'm pretty excited for that song. I think that song, it's short, but it's got a good, like, good hook, and it's kind of like an emotional, kind of a sad song. And like my buddy, Piper, he does art, a lot of the artwork for me. He did the artwork for the logo for the single on Spotify. It's like a skeleton, like pouring out like a 40.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks pretty dope, man. And it kind of fits like the Halloween theme and shit. So it's kind of, I don't know, I'm excited for it. And we actually have a bunch of music that we haven't released yet. And I also, during the same time that I was making the Big Dreams album, I also started making a bunch of beats, and I made a bunch of EDM beats and like house beats and shit. So I got like 30 of those beats that I want to release like an album with, like, I don't know, a shitload of songs on there. But, like, I don't want to sing on any of them, really. I want to just feature people to sing on them or, like, add their parts to them. But they're all just crazy, like, beats that are, like, kind of club beats. Like, not shit that I would normally do at all. It's, like, way outside the box for me. But
yeah, do
I played them for a couple homies that that are into that kind of music. And they're like, man, these are badass, dude. And none of them sound, like, the same. They all sound slightly different, which what I was going for. I was like, man, I could do this shit.
So you do programming too then?
A little bit, dude. Not really. I the way I made those beats was I got on. Have you heard of this website called Splice?
I have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just got on Splice and I found, like, okay, I'm going to start with, just like we do in a practice, we start with the drum. So I look for a sweet drum beat that I like and I add that on the loop. And then I find a bass line that I like, and then I'll add that to the loop, and then I'll find, either a keyboard part or guitar part, synth part or horn line or something that has a nice melody to it, and then I'll add that. And I'll just layer the shit out of them and then create different parts, but all through loops. I didn't play any instruments. All I did was just find the ones that I liked and piece them the way that I thought that they should go.
Yeah.
And man, they were coming. I would make like two or three in one day, dude. And they, I felt like they came out pretty dope.
That's cool.
So I have that I still want to bust out. I haven't really done anything with that lately, but that's in the works also. So I'm pretty stoked on that shit.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's real cool. We should talk about, after the show about something like that. Cause I've been thinking about, not necessarily EDM, but like when I'm doing some of the tracks, I just want like a old school 808 hip hop groove, an old style Dre beat, that I can.
Yeah, man. And I made a bunch of rap beats too. So that's the other thing that I have. So I have my goal was to make 30 EDM beats and 30 like rap hip hop beats slash shit that I could write conspiracy stuff to or just use it for my album. So I have a ton of beats, man, that I could show you or, that we could mess with and see what I come up with. Because, honestly, they're just chilling right now. I haven't even touched them since I made them.
That would be great. We should definitely get together and do some stuff like that. I think everybody would love to hear some kind of collab stuff between you and I. Maybe we could bring Sean Bowman in the mix, get him to lay down some bass.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man. I'd be down
for that. Yeah, it'd be fun. Be fun.
Get warm to lay some horn lines on there or something.
Yeah, like an All-Stars kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I'd be down for that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It'd be real fun. So you're a father, right?
Yeah, man. I'm about to have another baby like any week now.
How many do you have? You have one child, correct?
I have a little girl.
Yeah. And how old is she? We don't have to talk about names or anything, but
she's two.
Change your life or what?
Yeah, man, big time.
Yeah, man.
You're like, it, in a good way, though, man. Like, I was nervous as hell, to be honest with you. I was like, man, I don't know. I've never done this, you know what I mean? I was like, and how am I going to do this? Like, play music? And I don't know, man. You just do it. I don't know.
Yeah, you figure.
It's great. It's great, though.
You figure it out. Yeah, I have a son and I have two girls. And
nice, bro.
Thank you. And congrats to you as well. Do you know what you're – other child is going to be yet?
Yeah, it's gonna be a little boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yup.
That's funny, man, because when I had my son, he was first, it was like, I'm a man, I have a son, testosterone, and then I had my girls and it like broke me down. Like in a good way, like softened the rough edges and
having a little girl makes you definitely like, oh man, because you think about like stupid shit you probably did when you were a kid, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh man, I was an asshole.
Yeah. It's always funny. Like, find myself playing with Barbies or something, and I'm like, I never thought that I'd be sitting down, doing girly things with, everything pink and, it's just a trip. It's a trip how life changes and shapes and you get molded into these things,
Yeah, man, it really is, dude. Yeah, but everything's got like its timing, I feel like everything happens in its own season.
Yeah. Do you ever write songs about your kid or kids?
I haven't, dude. I My girl was asking me to do this. She's like, you should write a song about the baby. And I was like, oh, you know, I do. But I feel like that would be a song that I would have to, like, really take the time to make it perfect mm-hmm. for her. And like, right now, with everything that I got going on right now, I feel like I wouldn't have the time that I would want to dedicate it to something like that.
Yeah, it's so funny because I was just talking with a friend of mine the other day about that, where every time I've tried to sit down and think about it in that way, it's almost like it's too personal. I can't get it out. It's really bizarre. I've not been able to write any songs about my children or anything yet. You know, I'll say yet, because I don't know what the future holds. But I found that I was like, I wonder, you know, if the other fathers that I know are able to just whip it out and, like, get the song done, or if it's, or if there's something about it, either the personalness or just the great emotional hold that relationship has on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. When she asked me about that, I immediately was thinking about Santana. There's a song that I think he wrote for, like, his kid,
mm-hmm.
and the song is dope, dude. So I was like, man, I gotta write something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So would you consider Santana to be a musical influence?
Yeah, big time, man. I love the way that guy plays guitar. Like him, Jimi Hendrix, even Bradley Nowell from Sublime.
Yeah,
all those guys really inspired me to, like, to want to get better at like playing lead guitar.
Yeah,
and just guitar in general.
Yeah, lead guitar is something that I would never claim to be, but I like to, you know, that's how I write my songs, is all on guitar, like rhythm stuff. But yeah, like Carlos, Eric Clapton, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, all those guys, like, just, you know, it blows my mind when I listen to it. And it's like butter. They when they're playing, it just is so seamless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, those guys are dope, man.
It's
crazy the way that they were able to, like, visualize the guitar. Like, especially Jimi Hendrix, man, playing it, like, upside down and, like,
yeah,
left-handed. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Do you bring a lot of Hispanic flavor into yourself, into your own stuff? Is there any traditional stuff that you know?
Not really, man. To be honest with you, I really, like, that's something that I've been wanting to, like, tap into more, because I can speak Spanish fluently,
mm-hmm.
and I can write stuff, but I just haven't, like, taken the time to really dive into that. And, like, my friend Pipe always talks to me about that, telling me that I should make more songs in Spanish because it sounds dope. He says, yeah, it sounds dope, man. I released a single that has a little bit of Spanish songs on it,
mm-hmm.
but, like, or Spanish lyrics in there, but I'd like to do it more.
So when you talk about releasing your music and stuff, how do you go, not to give away all the behind the scenes magic and stuff, but are you going through a traditional label route, or are you doing
no, I'm just doing it all myself. What I do is I just go through Premiere Studios with Jeremy. So, like, I'll do, like, some work myself. Like I said, I'll make the beat,
yeah.
or I'll write, you know, what I want, and I'll either have Maddie record me, you know, just to get an idea, and then see how far I can take that. And then once I can't take that any further, then I take it to Jeremy and do it there. But sometimes we'll just start at Jeremy's, just depending on, like, the budget and, like, how I really want it to sound.
Yeah.
Like, the more of a, I like recording, like, from the, if I'm going to do, like, a hip hop beat, I would just do that, you know, on my own. But if I'm going to, like, record, like, a band, then I would prefer to do that over there at his place, because he's got, like, badass equipment. And you know what,
yeah.
I mean? It doesn't sound the same in your house as badass studios.
So. Yeah.
But it's just more expensive. So, but yeah, I mean, I just, you know, finance my own stuff. And once I get the sound right, then I don't know, for musicians out there that are listening to this, you know what I mean? If you don't know about, like, CD Baby, then check it out. It's real easy. You pay, like, a one-time fee, and then you can, you know, put your music out there, and it goes on all those streaming websites, and then they collect, like, the royalties for you. If you pay a little extra, they'll collect publishing for you as well, and then they'll just they'll mail you a check, or they'll direct deposit it into your account. Like, at first my shit was like 20 cents, you know, like my monthly check. But then like the last couple months, it's like, it's not a lot, dude. It's like at $20. But like, I feel like I just released my own shit. And like a lot of it's just like old stuff from Black Bottom Lighters that I get a little piece of or whatever. But if I would have known, if I would have known that back then when I was in BBL, you know what I mean? Like it would have been different.
Yeah.
But it's all, everything's a learning experience, you know? So
did you go through BMI or ASCAP or anybody like that to get your,
I went through ASCAP. I just paid like the yearly thing.
Yeah.
And then they collect some of the, I don't even know what they collect, to be honest with you, but I haven't.
Yeah, that's like the whole business end of it. And I was just talking to somebody the other day where, you know, we just got this entertainment company off the ground and got the LLC going and all that other stuff. And then, you know, I'm like, okay, so, you know, essentially at the end of the day, when this record's finished, like we have done everything that a record company would have done. But, you know, it's me and one other person. So it's going to take us like way more man hours, but it's doable. You know what I mean? And once you get those kind of tangible results, it's like, wow, dude, like, oh yeah, we can do this, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. It just takes a little bit of time and some effort, but definitely being like aware of it is like, I guess a first step towards it is like, oh, hey, I can do this on my own, but it's going to take a minute and it's going to take a little bit of money and being organized. And like, I made a checklist of all the shit that I was trying to do. Cause like being your own, like musicianal, like manager too, you know what I mean? Like I do everything myself for my shit and for the conspiracy band. Me and Casper pretty much like coordinate everything, like booking the gigs, like everything.
That's cool.
And it is cool, but it's like, when I was with BBL, we all would do booking, we all would like promote, we all did. And I think that's why the band was so successful, at least when I was in it, was because our music was pretty damn good, and we all like as a group did everything instead of just one person or two people, you know what I mean?
Well, like, I feel like it went up. You guys are the infamous, like, go down to Westgate and like and pre-sale tickets and then fill like a party bus.
We did that lots of times.
show up with the whole, awesome. Yeah, you'd fill the whole venue, play, and then be out, and the rest of the bands be standing there like, what was that?
Yeah,
that was
yeah, we would do incredible. That for like Battle of the Bands.
Yeah,
we got two double-decker fucking party buses. That shit was tight.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible to watch. It was a brilliant marketing scheme, you know, like it was fantastic. And I think a lot of us kind of took a lesson from that.
It was just us having like fun too. It was like, well, we want to fucking bring a bunch of people and we also wanted to party. So we're like, fuck it, let's just bring the party on wheels. And like everyone then was just like in that, it was the right time too for that. Cause like everyone in our age group was like just looking to have a good time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was cool.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome. Well, I think we're getting near like the little time clock running out, but it's been a pleasure to sit with you and have this conversation, my friend, and I look forward to what we do in the future together.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for having me, man, and I'm looking forward to listening to your podcast now that I know how to log on to the podcast thing, man. I was like, oh, man, this is like Chinese for me. It took me forever, and then I haven't updated my phone like in forever, so I think that's part of the problem too. Like, I hate doing those updates on it.
Yeah, well, next time you're doing a record release or anything for Highest Conspiracy or whatever, come on the podcast. We'll talk about it. We'll put it out there to everybody. You want to tell everybody what your socials are? I will put it in the body of the and for everybody listening, if you've obviously found us, but you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. And where are you at?
Check that out. Highest underscore conspiracy for like Instagram and Twitter, and Facebook is just Highest Conspiracy. So check that out.
Cool. What about your solo?
That's under Taide. So Taide Music, Taide Music. And I'm on like Twitter and Instagram. No, I'm not on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. And I'm on That's it. I think YouTube. I'm on YouTube and I'm on Spotify and all that stuff too.
Sick, sick. All right, man. Well, thank you very much. Everybody go ahead and go down to iTunes and check out Big Dreams by Ty Day. And on all the platforms, go stream the music on Spotify. Look him up on YouTube. If you're in the Phoenix area, come check out Highest Conspiracy or Ty Day down, play one of the shows. Go look it up online. Thank you very much, brother. So pleased.
Thank you, honored
to have you on. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, brother. It was my pleasure, man. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
We'll be in touch.
All right. Peace.
Bye.